A great business needs a stunning website. And with Wix.com, you can do it all by yourself. Wix.com makes it easy to look amazing online, no matter what type of business you're in. Show off your images in a beautiful gallery. Grow your contact list and get all your social media in one place, just the way you want. Your customers are going to love it. So, what are you waiting for? Show the world what you can do. Go to Wix.com and create your stunning website today. It's easy and free.
Coming to you live from the Peppermill Resort in Reno, Nevada, it's Rob at the Podcast from Run It Up Reno, and now here is the guy who is the smartest player never to win any poker whatsoever. Rob Cesternino, hello everybody, welcome! Yes! This is so nice that we've got a really nice sized crowd here at the Run It Up Reno event. And with me, here he is, a guy who is a poker winner, Here he is, the knowingest poker player on the panel.
Wow. Yeah.
No, Stephen Fishback is here.
Yes. Hello everybody. Hi. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm hoping to embarrass myself about the same as I embarrass myself playing Survivor. So that's
cool. Yeah, Stephen is doing for poker what he did for Survivor, where he's making people say, "Wow, if he can do it, I can do it."
Yeah, I'm making big moves, Rob.
He made big moves, and for those of you guys who are here, many of you guys know, Stephen finished in the money at the tournament today.
Yeah, I played poker like I do Survivor, just paranoid and, afraid the whole time. Yeah.
Did you have any advantages today?
Yeah. I tried to split the cards. They didn't have
them. Yeah. And you did not have to get up from the table with any sort of distress at any point?
Yeah.
You didn't have to run off?
I won't say I didn't have to.
Okay. Yeah. Now, let me just say, what do you have? A pint of milk? What do you like?
All the coffee shops around here only have cream, and I'm lactose intolerant.
Okay.
I got a weak stomach. I got to carry my own fat-free milk.
It's fat-free milk.
Yeah. If they had lactate milk, I'd have that.
Okay, but you don't have coffee. You just bring the milk around with you in case, for the next time you get coffee.
Yeah. Sorry.
All right. 1 week ago tonight, Stephen, we watched the finale of Survivor Kill Wrong. And now here we are again. This is so nice.
Yeah, this is great. And it's like every week. It's like
we're just going to keep getting together every single Wednesday.
I had a break.
You know, we had a very nice breakfast this morning because it was the two of us.
Yeah.
Tyson and Boston Rob. We had a nice breakfast. Rob was the winner of a tournament last night.
Right. So he bought breakfast.
He brought it. So here's the Boston Rob. Picked up the tab for breakfast this morning.
Yeah.
And at breakfast, we talked about, all right, well, whoever wins the next tournament, breakfast is on them tomorrow.
I'll be buying breakfast up to an omelet or up to an omelet.
getting lobster, having an expensive breakfast. All right, so why don't we got a nice crowd of Survivor fans. Well, let the people listening to the podcast know you're here. Nice crowd came out here for Jason's event, and so here we are, 1 week away from Michelle winning Survivor Kill Wrong. Stephen, have you had any more time to sort of like process and digest the events of last week? Have you had a different take on it?
I've come to terms with it. I think when we did the podcast, we do the podcast minutes after the show ends. I think my head was reeling. You know, it was an unexpected victory, unless you were watching the edit, in which case it was very expected. But I think the fact that she won, she got heat at the right moment, right? Like she was an underdog. She turned it on at the right moment, good for her. Was that coherent?
I just wanted to know if you had a different take on it. Yeah, I think that for a lot of, I really feel like that night that we did the know-it-alls, I feel like a lot of people were really up in arms about what do you mean Aubrey didn't win?
Right.
And I do feel like that the tenor has certainly changed. I don't have Josh up here, but I feel like that it's, in a lot of ways, I feel like it's like the ending to Lost. Like, I feel like that the night it was on,
right.
Like a lot of people were like, what? That was the ending?
Yeah.
I think then a lot of people like came around on it. Like, no, it was a great ending.
But it's not a scripted thing. I mean, like winning Survivor means you won Survivor. Like, it's not like some great injustice. And I've seen like people saying like, this is like, this ruins the game. But like, it's not like some great injustice. It's a game. It's a game show. You know, and sometimes like the better, you know, there's no correct narrative for it.
Yeah. Let's start this off. And we're going to bring up a lot of different people during this show. Let's bring up the man who brought us all out here, in Jason Somerville, the founder of Run It Up Reno. If you guys are listening to this and you don't know who Jason is, Jason is the guy for streaming poker, podcasting, casting. Jason, how are you doing?
All right.
Doing good.
Wow. Doing good. Are you proud of Steven?
Very proud of Steven.
Yeah, this is about me.
Tournament.
This is about me. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. You know, Steven has only been here for a couple days, and he already has more cashes than Tyson.
Yeah.
So
yeah. That's all I want is to outperform Tyson.
Okay. Yeah. This week it's been easy. Other times not as easy.
No, but other times also very easy.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
You're talking about head to head?
Yeah.
But don't talk trash. Wait till Tyson's up here to talk trash about Tyson. Yeah, say it to his face.
I know. Right. I couldn't. Right. I have to look. Yeah.
So Jason, first off, how are you? This is your event. How are you doing? Thank you for bringing us all out here for this.
Yeah, thank you guys for coming, and all of you guys here as well. The audience. Yeah. Okay. Thank you guys for coming. It's amazing to have you guys here. Yeah.
Jason's been a great friend of Rob as a podcast. He is such that to the degree where he's having this event and said, I want to do a live RHAP episode from there. So great to have us all here.
Yeah, we missed you last time because you were too busy having a baby. So
Yes. The hard work was all mine. So thank you very much for noticing. But all right. So Jason, you know, we talked to you midway through the Survivor season on the voicemails.
Yeah.
Did you? What was your takeaway from the finale of the season?
I gotta say, really enjoyed the season of Survivor. I thought it was fun. I enjoyed your shows, of course, the whole time through. I was rooting for Sydney. Who else was rooting for Sydney here in the final four? Okay, yeah. I thought Sydney was an underestimated, underrated. She was a physical threat. She was hilarious. You know, I thought Sydney was a great Survivor character. So I was rooting for her at the end. It's funny, we had talked about, do we think that we were going to see the Super Idol come into play? And we actually had a chance where it could have, but no, you're right about that. I was wrong.
Yeah. I mean, that seems so long ago when we were talking about the Super Idol.
Yeah.
Steven, why do you think this season that after the Super Idol almost came to pass, it seems as though they never put another idol back into play? Did you have any thoughts about that in terms of, like, do you think it was out there and that people didn't look for it? Or you think production was like, boy, I think we dodged a bullet here. Like, this Super Idol thing was almost like this scenario where it could have been, nobody would have been able to get around it.
Yeah. I think the fact that it came into play like it did, which was more as like a threat and as something that people had to like think about or negotiate, was more interesting and exciting than it actually getting played. If they had brought another idol out and there had been a real Super Idol, that might have sucked.
Like, do you think that it was like the kind of thing where it's like that they felt like, all right, if it was going to be something that like we love to see it get used, we'll put another idol back into play? Or you think that, like,
I mean, there were still idols out there, right? Ty had an idol like past the expiration date. I think maybe if an idol had been played, they would have put it back. I mean, the rules always, I never am quite sure what the rules are, but I think, you know, if an idol is played, it will go back into play.
Jason, what about from a gameplay perspective? Did you like the way that the Super Idol came into the game? Because I know you're always looking at like the odds and the probabilities coming from poker.
Not always, but yeah,
sometimes.
I thought it was interesting. I mean, I don't think it was a bad twist. You know, I mean, they've done a lot of different twists. I think the advantages are cool, even though they've made literally no difference.
No, they've made a huge difference. It's a bad difference.
Yeah. Make a bad difference.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I think it's interesting. I mean, we're at season 33 now, right? It's cool to have these twists, I think. It's interesting to see these things have these wrinkles in the game. I'm actually going back to watch Survivor Africa, okay, where there's no twists whatsoever, and I'm enjoying that.
No, there's a swap. It was the first time they had a tribe swap.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, that was twist. I didn't even realize that at the time. I was like, okay, wow, this is normal.
Now, how routinely do you watch an old season of Survivor?
Not that often, but, you know, it's on Amazon Prime now, all these old seasons, so you can go back and watch all these. So I've actually gone back to watch some of the ones I haven't seen before.
What about Survivor Africa? Was there somebody who gave you a hot tip on Survivor Africa?
Yeah. I actually don't know why Survivor Africa was the one that I picked, but that's the one that it was.
And you enjoy it, even though I feel like that it's a season that does not have a lot of like really intense gameplay.
Yeah, I've been enjoying it. I don't know. I've always been a fan of Survivor, but I only really started at like season like 11. So I missed kind of like the first 10 at first. And it's been great. I've been enjoying it for sure.
Are you going to watch Marquesas next?
Should I?
Yeah, is it some Rob's just thumbs up? Why not? Why not?
Yeah, sure. I'm in.
I don't think Rob is salty about the seasons he didn't win. I think once you get speaking of somebody who has no wins, I think that if you won a season, right? I think you say like, yeah, sure, watch anything I'm on. Yeah, first that's not untrue. Okay.
Spoiler alert. Okay.
Spoiler alert. Jason, so as somebody who's, you know, outside of the Survivor universe, you can like speak with truth serum a bit more than we're always able to. Who do you think should come back from this past season? Who did you like seeing?
Oh man, so my top
obviously pick, Anna.
Can I say
here.
Anna Kate? Yes. I mean, of course, come on, you know. Woo! Let's say that happened. Yeah, that'd be great. I think Sydney, top of the list. I think Aubrey was a great character. I mean, you guys enjoyed Aubrey, of course. I think she'd make a great return player. Although I think she would probably do way worse in a return season. I feel Paley would be a little bit more suspicious of Aubrey, right? But I think Sydney, Aubrey...
See, I think it could go either way. I feel like that she might have a little bit of a mark on her in terms... Not Mark the Chicken. That she might have like a little bit of a mark of like, okay, oh, she's really good at the game. I feel like that it's also like counterbalanced by the fact that I feel like that she has a lot more confidence now, probably returning than she did. Steven, do you see it the same way?
I don't know. I feel like, you know, she did the whole like person, that nerd out of water thing, and then kind of revealed her true colors. And having had that exact same trajectory, I feel like once you're exposed as a strategist, like you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Like everyone knows what you're up to. I don't know if she'll do as well a second time.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope she does. I hope she does.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see because there's like two different ways it can go. Like obviously there's the thing where people like are suspicious of you and don't want to work with you in a second time. That's a thing that can happen to people. I've heard.
Yeah.
But then I think there's also like the thing like the like Suri 1.0 to 2.0 where she's a really good player, but people are like, oh, her narrative was that she got up off the couch.
Yeah.
She like went from somebody who was afraid of leaves to now she's like went out there and she did it. Like we're getting behind her. And I thought it was interesting at the finale, like with Aubrey.
Right.
Jeff didn't talk about like, wow, what a game you played, Aubrey. It was like, wow, you were like Cochran, but now and so many people were, you know, excited about your journey. And I do feel like the finale frames the narrative a lot. Do you think that that's possible?
I mean, you're right. It just depends on, you know, what people are telling each other, right? If she does play again, you know, what the story becomes, you know, and it's hard to shake whatever it is, you know, so it could go one way or it could go the other.
So the biggest star of the season has to be Ty. Right?
Yes.
You think Ty is coming back?
I think that it seemed all roads seem to point in that direction.
I felt like the
yes.
Spoiler.
I felt like the last few episodes, Ty kind of got like a very much like a worse edit, got less like positive glow. I don't know. I didn't feel nearly as rosy about Ty at the end as I did, even towards like the middle. Like he peaked right at the when he turned on He turned right on like when he turned on Jason and Scott. That was his peak of the season, right? For sure. From there, I really didn't feel like I was ever that.
Oh, okay, hold on! Whoa, that. Because we can't hear you from jumping.
Yeah, we'll get you.
Here, well, come up and say that on the mic.
Anna,
on the microphone.
Come on up here. Anna come on Kate. Up here.
Don't Eliza us.
She can
Anna.
Speak with authority, okay. Unlike any of us.
Ty expert.
Okay.
Anna Kate.
Yeah. Come on here.
Fellow tribe mates. There you go.
Here comes Anna Kate. Anna, give a nice hand for Anna.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, because this is a podcast, too, where people are going to be listening to this. Yeah.
I know. I was just saying that Ty gets a little in front of people, you know, like talking and stuff, and this thing kind of comes on and off. But so from what you know, what I've seen and from what I've heard from my fellow tribe mates, that he gets a little bit uncomfortable in front of people, and you know, gets a little flustered, and he can sometimes has a hard time getting out what's on his mind and trying to make a coherent sentence. And so he kind of, you know, like the final tribal council, he couldn't really express his thoughts in a very coherent way that. You know, this is his second language, so it's hard for him, you know?
Yeah.
So I can just imagine how hard it is on his, from his
Yeah.
So what do you, you know, you, what do you think when you saw Michelle won? Were you surprised at all that, or were you, you know, expecting it based on your knowledge of her on the Beauty Beach?
Yeah. I mean, Michelle played under the radar, so she didn't have anyone that disliked her. I think that there are different strategies for sure. And she flew through the middle, and America didn't really get to see the strategy she was playing because, you know, there's not a lot of time allotted for everyone when you have three tribes and two tribes. I mean, there's some really big personalities, you know, Ty and Sid and Aubrey's playing well. And she didn't really have the opportunity to show her strategy. You know, her and Sydney were really making decisions too. And Sydney and Aubrey, and it was just, there was a bunch of stuff going on. So I think that she didn't really get a chance to show that she was really strategizing, but, she was from, you know, from what I hear. And, I was very happy for her. I wanted a beauty girl to win. So
obviously
Aubrey played an awesome game though. So I loved watching her.
Obviously, like, you're happy for Michelle, but like when you find out, I'm assuming you find out ahead of before the finale that Michelle is going to be the winner.
Yes.
Like,
well,
did
I knew she was going in the end. I wasn't sure whether she was going to win. We had a good idea, but we're, you know, we don't know until they really read the votes.
Was that like really surprising to you based on like getting to know them? Like, or are you feeling like, you know what? Like, I really thought that she had that trajectory based on working together early in the game.
Honestly, once I got home and I found out she was in the finals, I was actually really surprised. I was very happy for her. I thought that this is great for her. I mean, in the beginning, I can see Julie was playing, you know, Ty was playing, I was playing, and Michelle and well, Caleb really wasn't playing in the beginning at all.
And then he played in the middle and in the end.
Yeah. And then
at the end of the day.
Yeah. And so I was surprised, but watching her game, I mean, I think she deserved it. I think that she played an awesome game and I commend her for it. I mean, it's hard to win so many immunities. She won the last immunity. She won the last, you know, advantage, reward. I mean, she really kicked it up into gear and she would have been out if she didn't win the immunity. So
when you were on on the trip with pre-juried, did you guys have a consensus of like, you guys leave, you sort of have an idea of what's happening on all the different tribes. Did you must have formed like some guess, like who you thought was going to take it all.
Yeah, I really thought that Ty was going to go far. I told Ty out there that he's going to be a fan favorite, that, you know, I knew he was playing the game. And when I got to meet Aubrey for the 24 hours we're together, I wanted to go. I was gunning for her because she was the most unsuspecting, smart player, that she can get along with people really well. I knew Peter was in the bottom. I knew that Ty was really hurt. He couldn't swim. But I knew that I really wanted to go for Aubrey. I told the cameras, I was like, if she goes far, I mean, if people don't notice her, she's going to go very far. She's a smart player. She's really good with people. And for me, she was on my radar and she was on my hit list. So I didn't really get a chance to do that. But I certainly tried and I certainly, what Ty told me was that he was going to use the idol and save me. And about 10, 15 minutes before tribal, Scott told him, don't do it, dude. Don't save her. Save the idol. And I'm like, darn it. Because my read on Aubrey and Joe were that they're not voting for Peter. That's a lie. They'd be way more ecstatic, obviously, if they were going to vote for Peter. You know, Peter voted for Aubrey and Aubrey was really upset. Body language was telling me that they're not voting for them. And I was gunning for Peter. Ty was trying my best, but yeah, Ty was going to use the idol in the last minute. Scott got me. And eventually it got kind of Scott with that idol.
Yeah, you know, as a hot take, I think it might have been better for Ty to use the idol on you in that spot. Because I think that the problem for Ty is that, you know, his best traits were sort of like his likability. And everyone's like, oh, Ty, he's such a nice guy, such a nice man.
No one would expect it.
And Nobody would expect it there in
no
that spot, but just
strategy.
Get rid of the idol. Like, Ty having idols and advantages, I think that was a bad thing for him.
I agree.
And you got to be wheeling and dealing, playing those things, and that's not his strong suit.
It's not. And Ty's easily manipulated. And the thing is, it's hard to keep a secret in Survivor, really. It's going to come out really quickly that you have an idol, you have a target on your back. So he could have taken that chance where he could have saved me. Julia was coming in, it would be three. We have Scott. We, you know, we pick off the brain, we get together, and then we get Sydney, we have Michelle on the other side. But, I was asked a ton, do you think that Ty made a mistake? And I said, it's only a mistake if he doesn't get to the end. in certain ways, right? So he did make it to the end, but yes, I agree that he had an advantage, and he, you know, it was just
that's results oriented thinking.
Yeah, for we sure, don't like that. No results oriented thinking.
But yeah, I mean, I think he should have used it. Honestly, I think that there's definitely merit to the fact that it's a little bit early to use it, but I think you can take the control of the game in that situation and save me. Have Julie, you know, Julie's coming in, and Ty told me afterwards, he's like, why don't you remind me about Julie? I was like, I did remind you about Julie. How do you not remember that Julie's coming in? Obviously. You know, so I had a strong alliance with Julie, and I had a really strong alliance with Ty. They didn't really show it, but mm-hmm. I was protecting him once Caleb was out, the girls were gunning for Ty. I was trying to get out Nick because I didn't really trust Nick at all. And so it is what
did
it
you
is.
Get to go head to head with Stephen Fishback in the tournament today? Yeah.
We didn't play on the same table, but Steven was like, I don't really play poker. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You just made $1,000. What do you mean you don't play poker? Ooh, yeah, you just made the money.
Well, so what do you, I mean, as a poker player coming into Survivor, like how are you sort of what like poker skills of yours were you drawing on when you?
Well, I was drawing on the fact that so poker is very similar to Survivor, where you have like a beginning game, middle game, end game, right? The beginning game is way different from the middle game to the end game. I can go through it if you want, but I'm sure you guys all know, you guys are all poker players, all Survivor fans. You guys get it. But another thing, so adjusting definitely to the different, tribes and different switches and stuff. But I think also I really relied on reading people. Mm-hmm. So I try to play behind the scenes and observe as much as possible. So there were so many things that were obvious to me when I was watching the show. I'm like, oh my God, this guy has his body language. He's not facing the girl and he's telling us with her, but he's not looking at her. And I'm like, he's just not with her. I mean, come on, you can see it. So I was excited to actually put that into effect and actually test my skills and see if I really do know how to read people as well as I do. You know, I took a lot of psychology when I was in school, so I love that stuff. And that's what attracted me to poker, really, was poker reads. And then I learned that it was a much deeper game than that, you know? But then, yeah, so I think reading people helped me. I knew, you know, I was telling the girls that Ty had an idol. I was certain he had an idol. We looked everywhere for the idol. We couldn't find it. We thought that there was a chance there was no idol, but, I was telling the girls and then they told me, you know, after when they saw me, they're like, Anna, you were right. He had the idol. I'm like, yeah, I know,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I knew Aubrey and Peter and Joe were on my side. I knew that Aubrey. So yeah, there was a lot of reads that we're going through. Aubrey and I had a good relationship, but yeah.
What would you have done differently? You know, this was your first time playing. Would you play again? And if you did go back, what would you do differently a second time?
I would definitely play again. I love the show. I respect the show. I love the game. What would I have done differently? I think that in my situation, I mean, the cards fell as it were. So I couldn't really, there's not many things I could have done, I think. Maybe find the idol, obviously, you know, have a little bit more success finding the idol. But I think if I would play again, I would observe more. I mean, America didn't really get to see our strategy because what happens when you win is you don't really ever get to tribal. You never get to show your strategy. You never get to show that what you said was going to happen. I think that I would just take a step back. Not that I was too aggressive anyway. I think I would just observe as much as possible.
And like get Caleb to hydrate.
Yeah. And make sure Caleb is hydrated.
What happens in this game if Caleb doesn't get medevaced? This whole thing play out?
Well, it depends. So first of all, Caleb, we wanted to work with Caleb. It was the three girls and mm-hmm. we needed a guy that was loyal to us. And, although I liked Ty a lot, I knew that he was sneaky and I knew I couldn't trust him. We wanted to work with Caleb and I would have been loyal to him until, you know, we got really deep. See, the thing is, even with, so people are like, oh, well, if Caleb stayed, maybe the swap, you would have had numbers. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Maybe it would have been the same exact thing. I would have lost my numbers, an extra twist of, you know, beauty coming in and targets on my head. I don't know. You never know.
But you know what would have been different is that it would have been an even number and they would have split the thing 7 and 7 and there wouldn't have been somebody to go off to Beauty Beach to come into the game. Yeah. So whatever it was, you would have just been dealing with whatever it was and not like, okay, well, if we get rid of this person, another beauty is coming in, so we can't let that beauty take their place. So that really, that was a big deal.
I mean, that extra twist really put the target on the beauty's head. And from what we understood from CBS was that, you know, when they have a list of what's going to happen, they're going to stick to it. So they were supposed to have a tribe swap at 14. Unfortunately, Caleb was out. So we had 13 people. Jeff was like, all right, how do we switch this up? We have to have a twist. And they had that extra twist where, you know, one person went to Redemption Island, you know.
Okay.
Bron Beach. Yeah. Here.
So, Jason, was there anything else poker related you want to touch on in terms of Survivor? Yeah, let's get the champion from last night, Boston Rob, to come up. We haven't heard from him in a while on the podcast. Have him come on up. Here he is. He won last night. There was the tournament. It was All In or Fold was the name of the game. You had two moves to make. Go All In or Fold. Here he is, Rob Mariano.
Thank you guys. Welcome.
Your Survivor game is kind of considered to be sort of you're always going to make the big play, and either that'll get you to the end or it'll do the opposite. And like, is it sort of an All In or Fold scenario?
Sometimes. Yeah. No, that's a bad analogy, Stephen.
All right. I'm trying here.
It's okay. Yeah. I see what you're going with. I will say there are a lot of parallels between poker and the game of Survivor. A lot of times, and Anna started to touch on it. But a lot of times, you know, you'll see people come into the game of Survivor and play very aggressively in the beginning. You kind of equate that to, you know, you get a big chip lead early in the tournament and you're trying to win the tournament in level 4, where we know it's got to go 30 or 35 levels. If you do that and you do it too much, you know, you're never going to make it all the way to the end. The biggest parallel that I find, though, between Survivor and poker is your ability to adapt to different situations. Throughout the course of a tournament, different things are going to happen. You're going to have a high chip stack, low chip stack, different position at the table, different position within the tournament. That happens a lot in the game of Survivor too. And the person that's best able to adapt to those situations are the ones that are going to be able to thrive and go the farthest. And the final thing that I'll say about the parallels between the two are that everybody knows in order to win a poker tournament, you have to have luck on your side. You have to get lucky in certain spots. Last night, you know, there were a couple times I got it in bad with ace queen against ace king. I flopped a Broadway. Another time I got it in with king nine against ace four. I hit a king. You got to get lucky in certain spots. And that happens in Survivor a lot too. So luck has to be on your side. Nobody wins Survivor without getting lucky at some point.
Did Survivor teach you more about poker, or did poker teach you more about Survivor?
You know, it's a good question. When the first time I played Survivor, I didn't play poker. I mean, I did, but not the way I played poker now.
Yeah.
But I think they lend to each other. You know, you can learn a lot from each other. And I keep saying the biggest thing because there's a lot of big things. But another thing that's really important, I think, in poker and very important in Survivor is your self-awareness and how aware you are of the image that you're portraying to your other castmates. And that happens at the poker table a lot. What kind of an image are you portraying to them?
Is there a word for that? It's just your image?
Yeah, it's your image, your table image. You know, are you the fish? Are you a pro? Are you, you know, on tilt? Are you playing tight? What are you doing? And those are the poker terms.
Right.
In Survivor, it's being aware of, you know, how the other players perceive you. It's not so much how you perceive yourself, but how you or somebody else is perceiving me. I remember on Heroes and Villains with Tyson, one of the first couple days, you know, we're trying to get the shelter together, and it's pouring rain, and it's, you know, we don't have a fire, and we're struggling, really struggling, all of us. You know, we get to that first tribal council, and Parvati's like, yeah, Rob is kind of bossy. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And it's like, for the first time, I'm like, and then somebody else chimed in with it. It was probably Sandra. And Sandra's probably aware enough to, you know, go with it and be like, oh, look, here's an opportunity to throw him under the bus. But who knows? Maybe I was being a little bit bossy or pushing to try to get the shelter done and stuff. And it kind of was a real wake-up call to me to be careful of how other people are perceiving you in the moment.
That kind of like predicts my question, which is like, how do you improve that skill? You know, either at the poker table or in Survivor. Like, if you know... You don't know what you don't know.
It's hard. You have to pay attention. That's the number one thing. Like in poker, a lot of times, you know, you're on your phone, you're tweeting, you're doing this, you're doing that. Put your phone away. Stop paying attention. Pay attention to the other players at your table. Look and see how they're acting. look and see what their chips are. Be aware. In Survivor, it's similar, but it's different. But, you know, on any given day, somebody can wake up on Survivor, and for whatever reason, you might not even know. It might be somebody's grandmother died the year before that day earlier, and they wake up, and they're having a bad day that day. And you can see it. Anna touched on it, the expression on their face. You have to account for the human factor. And that's a big thing in Survivor. On any given day, for whatever reason, some person can be feeling a certain way, and something you can say to them where on any other day it wouldn't really matter, today it's bothering them. You have to be aware, and the way you become aware is by paying attention.
So, and then at the poker table, how big of a deal is that as well?
Yeah, it's huge. Everybody here knows it. You have to pay attention. I mean, it's very important. I mean, I don't know how else to phrase it.
I want to ask a question about this past season. I know you obviously watch. What did you think of the jury removal twist? Did you like that as a twist? If you were a finalist, would you want to have that twist? Like, would you want to be able to do that? Like, what did you think of that as both a viewer and as obviously a long-term player?
Like, there's a part of me that is nostalgic for the old days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of like goes with like anybody that's played in the old days. They're purists at heart. But here's the thing, a lot like poker. Poker is not the same as it was a year ago, 3 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago. You can have Doyle up here talking about what it was like in the good old days, right? But we all know it's not like that anymore. So you either adapt or you get run over. So I would prefer to play without idols and without these twists and without everything else. But I'd be a fool to just go into a game today and have that as my position. If you're not willing to accept the game as it's being played now and figure out how to adapt. And, you know, Daniel Negreanu does a lot of it, like where he's constantly talks about how he's learning and playing with the younger players and seeing how the game's changing and evolving. And if you don't do that in both disciplines, if you don't learn to play with the idols, last season they had something silly where they talked about, you know, we're not doing alliances. They're called voting blocks.
Yeah, that was so stupid when they did that, right? That was like, that's so annoying.
I mean, but it was a bunch of crap. You could see it. I could see it, you know?
Yeah.
But to the people out there at the time,
like, the game is evolved.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So constantly be able to accept.
Just because you don't understand it doesn't mean it's a bad idea.
Oh, was that you?
You know, Rob, I wanted to also get your take. We've been talking so much, like in the Survivor podcast, like post finale discussion about the jury. And there's been this conversation with, you know, Aubrey played the best game, but Michelle, the jury felt like that she played a better game at the time. And you've had people like Jason has said, well, if we would have known what she was doing, we would have voted for Aubrey. Now, you're somebody, you've been on both sides of that jury decision that you had, where you obviously won in Redemption Island and had a jury decision go against you in the All-Stars. What do you think about that sort of like what the jury is seeing in the game versus what they see on TV?
Yeah, and my position is even especially unique because the person that ended up beating me is ultimately my wife. So I can see, you know, how that feels from her perspective, too, to be in that position. So I've always maintained that the person that wins Survivor is the winner and they deserve to win. You know, deserving is a funny word because, you know, the premise of the game where you vote the people off and then they come back and decide which is a winner. Imagine that in a poker scenario. Imagine if you're at the final table, right? And you get down to heads up play and they say one guy has one guy out, chip 3-1. And we say, instead of playing this out, the other 8 people that got eliminated already, we're going to stop the game at this point and we're going to vote. And you guys are going to vote which of you two played the game the best. It's like, it's a unique like conundrum the way the mm-hmm. game is. So you can't take away from the person that won. They won for whatever reason. In my specific situation with my wife winning and me not winning, I had lots of people over the years, if we're being honest, come up to me and say, oh, you should have won, you should have won. Maybe, or maybe I didn't manage the jury in a way well enough to win. Maybe I played the game so cutthroat to bulldoze my way to the end and not have any regard for the feelings that these people have. Well, feelings, you're not supposed to have feelings. You're supposed to vote for the best person. Well, that's bullshit. Because seriously, there's no written rule to say how somebody is supposed to vote on the jury. It's all up to you and only you. And as people, we're emotional people. That's how we're created. So if you burn me on day whatever, and I don't have enough in me to say, you know what, I'm going to bury that. You got me. And I want to hold it against you. Well, guess what? I can hold it against you. That's within my rights. So you can't fault the jury for voting the way they voted. I'd like to think if I were on a jury, and you know what, I think that I've played four times and I've have the unique position that I've never actually had to vote for somebody else to win. I either got voted out right before or after, but I'd like to think that I would be able to put it aside and vote for the person that I thought was able to play the game the best. So you can't take it away from Michelle. You know, I got a lot of heat. I said, well played. I sent out a tweet. I got a lot of heat from a lot of people. But you know what? She did play well. She played well at the end of the game. She won the challenges when she needed to. And you know what? That was enough for them to convince the jury to win. At the same time, having said that, and I'm going to preface this by saying, like, I don't see everything that's out there. I've played the game four times. I know that they only show a fraction to the TV audience of what actually happens out there. So I'll preface it with that. But from what I saw watching in my living room, the same as you do, I do think that if I had been on the jury, I would have voted for Aubrey. But that's not to take away from Michelle.
Mm-hmm. You know, we have another winner here. I want to get Tyson up here, too. I know we only have so many mics, but if you come, this mic over here is so hot that if you just stand over here, it's gonna pick you up.
Rob, let's preface that he won Survivor, but he's yet to win. He's the only Survivor that's been out here that's yet to win any money.
Rob's winning.
But he's a winner because he's up here hosting the show.
Yeah.
I'll take it. Here, just get in. You want to get in here?
Okay.
All right. So Tyson, what did he? That's very. You know, maybe get Steven's microphone. All right. As another person who's won in front of the jury, did you have any thoughts on this decision for Aubrey and Michelle from this past week?
No, I actually agree 100% with Rob. There's so much we don't see, and maybe Aubrey was a better storyteller in front of the cameras or whatever reason. We don't see all of Michelle's gameplay because we didn't see a lot of her. So if you get to the end and convince those people to give you $1 million, then you've won the game of Survivor. It's like that simple. And too many people play early for the end game. They're like, oh, you don't want to piss somebody off. And then they end up getting voted out because they didn't want to make that move. I say get to day 39 and then figure out how to manage the jury. It took me 3 tries. It took Rob 4 tries. We don't really keep track of that too often. And we don't talk about it, and that's fine.
Touche.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's like you're in a position like Aubrey. Like there's nothing Aubrey. Like you say, like there was no way Aubrey could manage that jury, right? Like just the fact that she voted them out, it seemed like.
Hold on. Are you turning this back into you? Why didn't Tyson vote for you in token jeans?
That's exactly what he's doing, yeah. Rob.
You saw that final tribal speech that Stephen gave. Nobody in their right mind. Yeah.
My speech was amazing, and unfortunately, there were a lot of bitter jurors out there. Absolutely not.
I thought you were going to continue. Tyson.
Oh, yeah, I was going to continue.
Yeah.
Aubrey, there are things Aubrey could have done, I'm sure. Maybe she didn't apologize enough. You know, it's like reading people's expressions. You can see that somebody has it out for you. And it's one of those moments I don't like to, is there kids here? Yeah, there's one little girl. Kiss, B-U-T-T. But in the moment when you're in front of that jury, you have to kiss so much earmuffs, B-U-T-T. It's crazy. Like when Scott got up and obviously he's bitter, you had to be like, you know, sorry. I'm so sorry that your feelings were hurt. We were playing a game and I hope you're a big enough man to vote for whoever you thought played the best game. And so there are things you can do in that moment. Like Vitas told me to shut up and just listen to him. And I was like, I want to say something so bad to you right now. And I would have just said, look, dude, you're being super bitter. And that's how you're going to kind of come across on TV if you don't vote for me. But like, you can't say something like that. So you just have to be like, yes, you're right. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, I think Aubrey probably could have done some things, but Michelle did those things right and won the game.
You know,
drop mic. Give me a mic to drop.
Oh, Rob, what was your take on the chicken this season?
The chicken?
Yeah.
My favorite part of the finale was watching Burnett act like a chicken.
That was amazing. Yeah.
That showed really good sportsmanship in my mind.
Well, if you were on a season and you had somebody like Ty who was saying like, oh no, the chicken's my friend. We can't eat the chicken. Would you have gone along with that?
I would probably try to figure out a way to use it to my advantage one way or another. But really, one chicken, which is, where were they this season? Cambodia? Yeah. A Cambodian chicken, nevertheless, not a Purdue chicken. split between 8 people or 9 people is not a lot of meat.
Yeah, it's like one like small stringy morsel of like, speaking of someone who's eaten one lean Cambodian chicken, you know, a bite.
The protein factor is not what they make it out to be.
But Tyson, as a coconut bandit, somebody who takes their food very seriously, that's right. Would you have gone along with that?
What, eating the chicken?
No, well, not eating the chicken.
It's one of those game things where if it would have mattered so much to not eat it, you don't. But I feel like if you're that hungry and maybe you're not on Ty's good side or he's not on yours, make the chicken disappear. Doesn't have to be on you. And then you got a little protein.
Yeah. Make it disappear.
Hold on. Is Sia coming?
Yeah.
Because I would absolutely
She's
not
eat
coming the chicken.
Am
I Is Sia out? In the room?
Oh.
One of the other things from this season, Rob, was this idea that the Jason and Scott did sabotage to the camp. And they were going to put out the fire and they were going to try to make everybody's life miserable. You guys played with Russell on Heroes versus Villains. He did a little bit of that. Do you think, is that inbounds for you in terms of in play of like, okay, I'm going to, you know, as somebody who is a provider for the camp, somebody's going to decide, okay, you know what? I'm not getting what I want around here. I'm going to start to make things miserable for everybody.
I think it's like an act of desperation, you know, and people show their hand when they do stuff like that. You can see that for whatever reason, something's bothering him to the point to have to do that. So he doesn't feel comfortable. So if that's actually going on, that means that you're probably winning in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have to be specific about the situation, but I may encourage it or I may rally people against it, you know, depending on what would behoove me the most.
Okay. And Tyson, that when you saw that, did you feel the same way?
About what?
About the sabotaging the camp?
Yeah, that was too far.
So you can't
sabotage the, here's the thing.
Like, could you vote for somebody in the end who did that?
Who did that? To a certain degree, but I think they went too far because the way you win Survivor is not by threatening and bullying and at the last moment trying to make a move. What those guys should have done is been friendlier to everyone that wasn't for them. And then when that moment comes and you find yourself on the bottom, you can win people over as opposed to trying to muscle them out of their position.
You can threaten them and bully them. You just can't let them know that you're doing it.
Yeah.
Well, what do you mean? Like how,
you make
how does
it,
that
you
work?
Make it, you make it, you make them think it's their own idea.
Like, do you have an example of that, that you did that to somebody?
Not off the top of my head.
Only at the poker table last night?
Russell bullied people.
Well, yeah. I mean, in poker, work. I guess there are, yeah. There are, you know, situations where if you have a big stack of chips,
sure,
you're going to get respect for those, for that stack, even though it might be unfounded. For example, I don't know, a situation where there's a three-way, four-way all-in, and you win a bunch of chips, and you've never really played poker tournament before.
Why are we looking at Steven?
And then you get moved. You get moved to another table, and nobody knows who you are.
Yeah.
And they've never seen you, but they see a big pile of chips in front of you. They might assume that you know what you're doing, and you may raise, and they may fold just based on your chips.
If you're talking about, I told everyone I had no idea what I was doing. So if anyone assumed that I knew what I was doing, like, they were making a big mistake.
You could have been bluffing them.
Yeah, I guess that's right. Shoot. No, but one way in which people use leverage, right, is you hear all the, like, I mean, I think you see all the time, you know, people who are in bad positions in the game, someone will say, oh, you have to vote this way, you have to vote our way, you know, prove your loyalty to us, prove your loyalty to me. And that's not like outright bullying, right? That's just using like a position of leverage to get a desired result.
I've used that and it didn't work.
Yeah. I actually rarely see it work.
With Katie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I used it against Katie because she was on the very bottom. And those people are the ones that end up changing the game in the moments that it changes. And so you got to keep the bottom people at least kind of close to you, closer than everybody else has them. So I went to Katie and I said, I'm going to tell you 5 minutes before we go to tribal council who I'm writing down. If you write that same name down, you're going to get more information next tribal council. And hopefully you can earn your way back into the trust circle here. And she said, okay, I have to go talk to Sierra, but not about this. And then Sierra came to me and said, did you tell Katie you were going to tell her how to vote? And I said, no, she's a liar trying to get you on her side. And she said, okay, we'll vote her out. So we didn't end up voting her out. She ended up being one of the people that forced me to draw rocks to stay in the game. But it is one of those, yeah, it rarely works out to be the bully.
I have an example. I thought of one. Okay, so if somebody, I know it took me a minute, but if somebody does have an idol and you want them to play the idol, right? The first thing you're going to do is to try to make them think that they're going to go home. And you have to, this is again reading your opponent well and knowing if your opponent is a thinking opponent or not, kind of like in poker. So if you know that your opponent is a thinking opponent and you make them think the target is on them, but it's so obvious that it's on them, they're going to immediately think that it's not on them and it's going to be on somebody else. So they're going to play the idol for somebody else and not for themselves. And it's never been done in the history of Survivor, but I always thought it would be an excellent move if you had an idol you wanted to flush out to look at someone, tell them, look, we know you have the idol. They know that you have it. And we're voting for you tonight, so you better play it. You know, and then actually vote for that person.
Yeah.
Because there's a 99% chance they are not going to play that idol for themselves if they're confronted directly. It's the old look them in the face, tell them you're going to do it. They're not going to believe you and do it. And they're going to say, what happened? It's so obvious and direct.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because in this season that, again, and David, tell me if I have this right, that I feel like that in the, like, a post-game, I feel like that Jason and Scott were saying that's what they were going to do to Neil. They knew Neil had the idol. They were going to try to get, do I have that right? That allegedly, that's what would they say, we were going to get Neil anyway that night because he had an idol. Neil says that's not how it was actually going to happen, but at least that's what those guys claim they were planning to do. But again, I don't know if that's canon, Steven. Yeah, not canon. Not canon. Rob, I know that a lot of people watch The Survivor Price is Right this weekend. I mean, you guys watch The Survivor Price is Right? Some people. Do you have any good stories from doing The Price is Right? No, no. Was it fun?
It was fun.
Okay.
It was. I think they're all out.
They're all out. Hello. Okay.
Yeah, it was fun.
Okay.
It was a little bit uneventful. I mean, we didn't know until the last minute that we were going to get teamed up with fans of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was under the impression when I went out there that I was going to be playing Survivor. I mean, The Price is Right. Against other survivors, and that we were going to be playing for charity. But it wasn't. So we weren't able to actually make the decisions. But they edited it. I wanted her to change to the Vespa. I told her to change to the Vespa.
And she said, no.
Her husband was in the audience, and she looked at her husband, and the husband said, TV, TV. Because, you know, normally it would be the TV, because it's not going to be the obvious one. But it's the same thing. It's the old reverse, reverse, right? It's like, okay, everybody knows it's the Vespa. But it can't be the Vespa, because that's the most expensive thing, and everybody knows that. So it has to be the TV.
Yeah.
But it's really the Vespa. And I told her, I said, stop, wait. And Drew Carey said, what? And I said, can she still change? And he like looked at his producer. He said, no, no. And the producer said, yeah, she can still change. She hadn't said it yet. I said, pick the Vespa. I said, you don't want to look silly on TV. I said, they want you to think it's the Vespa, but then they're going to think that you know that, so they're going to want you to pick the TV, but you should really pick the Vespa. And her husband was just going, TV, TV. That was it. It was the best 11 minutes of television that I've ever done.
I wanted to get the take of you guys. Steven and I touched on this last week. We found out 1 week ago tonight that the next season of Survivor is going to be Gen X versus Millennials. Rob, have you ever thought about an idea for a season that involved the Gen X generation taking on the Millennials?
Kind of like Joe versus Joe.
That's my thing.
Well,
I had three.
I think Joe's part of the greatest generation, not Generation X.
I know. I don't know. You know, I think it's a little bit silly, but there's obviously going to be preconceived, you know, stereotypes about each group.
Because you would be like a really good like Generation X guy, because you would like, isn't that your whole thing? Put your phone away, get off your phone, Millennials.
I guess.
I want Survivor back the way it used to be. No idols.
No. I didn't say that. I said, as a purist, I like it back then, but I'm willing to adapt and, you know, accept today's. I'm not one of these guys that sits in front of the TV. Oh, it's so bad now. You know, like, it's different. But I don't know. I mean, I guess we kind of just wait and see what happens. I think it's really going to depend on the casting and the characters.
What's interesting to me is how much, like, the season ends up determining, how much the season ends up determining like how you define your own narrative. Like, did that happen to you on Heroes versus Villains? Were you like, oh, we're villains, and so therefore we have to behave a certain way?
Or, no, I didn't even think I was a villain.
But then are you like reacting against it? You know, does it affect? It must in some way affect. Or I don't know if it must, but it, you know, did it in any way affect your the way you played or the way you thought about yourself or the story you told about yourself?
I think a little bit. You know, it does. And I touched on this, I think, with the podcast that I did with Rob a while back when we talked about, you know, preconceived notions that you go into a game with, whatever we were talking about, Brains and Beauty and Brawn and mm-hmm. those preconceived notions. So on Heroes and Villains, there was a little bit of that, you know, F the heroes, you know, like, you know, like they're the goody two shoes and we can get away with whatever we want. With the generation, the millennial versus Generation X, there's obviously going to be like, you know, they're going to.
But I think that's more than just like camera time. You know, I think that's more than just like a confessional. I think it's also like how you start to think about it. You know, I mean, at least certainly for me,
only if you let it, if you let that infiltrate your own mind, you can, I mean, you have to be strong enough to be able to realize that they put this moniker on you and decide to, if you like that,
you played with Monica
50 cent word, yeah. And decide whether you want to apply to that or not.
Yeah.
Uh oh, we're losing them.
Losing fans.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Tyson, what's your take? Your take on millennials?
I think I'm born in Generation X, but a millennial attitude where I feel entitled about everything, and I'm super lazy. So it's like. Yeah. I feel like I could go in and pretend like I wanted to work long enough to make the merge and then just rule the millennials. That would be my strategy.
But that's what he wants you to think. Because if you know anything about him, he's not like
classic
that at
Gen
all.
X.
He's 100% Gen X.
Yeah.
Right. He just wants you to think he's millennial because it's cool. That's why he has gold shoes.
Yeah. No Gen X. Self-respecting Gen X has gold shoes.
Is that true?
I think so.
I never heard that, but
such a millennial move. All right, so I want to start to get some questions from you guys. You guys have questions?
Somebody has a question.
Yeah. All right, so I know we have the mics moving around. I know we're having we're down a couple of mics, but we'll pass them around. All right, Justin has a question.
Here's Justin.
All right, so you guys talked about Poker and Survivor being very similar. How would you feel a season would go if, instead of a jury vote, they did a challenge combining brains and something brawny?
Basically, go heads up at the end of the season instead
and
of a jury.
Not have to worry about jury management. How do you think the season would completely be different that way?
I think that goes against the premise of what the show is. So the reason why the show has been on the air for 33 seasons is because it has a format that works. That format is something that stayed the same every season. That is, it starts with two or three different tribes. Those tribes compete. Then there's a merge. At some point, those tribes come together. The people, it becomes an individual game. And at the end of it, you know, the people that you voted off have to vote for you. So there's accountability for your actions. You're talking about just throwing all accountability out the window, and at the end, just winner take all on a last challenge. It takes away a big part of the social game that you wouldn't need. Where in the beginning of Survivor, back in the old days, it was important to be able to actually survive, build a shelter, you know, do the work to keep your tribe going. And the social game was less important. The game has evolved that now the social game is the most important in your interaction between people. And they naturally cast people that are going to, you know, conflict with each other. So by taking that whole social game out of it and removing all accountability, I think you're going to be left with players that are strictly strategic and physical. And that would be the biggest change, in my opinion.
Or people will just target the strictly physical players, you know, and like one of the complicating things that makes it an interesting game is you have to take out the physical threats before they like beast their way into the end. But you also have to take out the people.
Still the Joe are, thing?
Yeah. You also have to take out the social threats who might win the jury vote.
It sounds like a season that Russell Hance might actually be able to win.
You know, this was brought up at that Heroes versus Villains finale where Russell said,
"Remove all
the game is flawed, Jeff. Why does I don't understand why the America vote for the winner? Because they would want me to win again.
Because that's not how the game works."
Yeah. Well, that's the thing is if you changed it to what you said and it all came down to a final challenge, you would take out all personal relations. And you wouldn't even get people pretending to be nice to other people. So what you would see was TV you didn't even want to watch because it was probably so disgusting as people. You could just shit on anybody at any time with no repercussions.
So you spelled out
it was a terrible idea.
Before?
It was a terrible idea and you should be ashamed.
Sorry.
Yeah. No, I think that there's also something about just those people on the jury. I think that they like the fact also that like, oh, I like this person, but I don't have any reason to watch because this person that I like isn't on the show anymore. They're all sitting there scowling, like making faces, right? So I think that if it came down to a season where you had two people or three people at the end that the audience didn't like, it's almost like that there's almost no reason to watch the show because you're not even going to get the chance to see the people on the jury either.
It's a lot like the presidential election this year, the Survivor jury.
Yeah.
Sometimes you vote for the person you want to win. Sometimes you vote for the person you don't want to win.
Well,
and there's nobody saying how you're going to vote.
You know, I don't want to get political. I don't want to get political at all, Rob. But,
no.
You know, this was something I was wondering recently. Do you have any Trump stories? Like, I feel like that around that same sort of time The Apprentice was coming up. That was right when you and Amber were doing so much press after the All-Stars and with Burnett. Like, I feel like that there had to have been a time where you were in the same place as him.
The only time I met Donald Trump was at the Marquesas finale.
Yeah.
Was actually held outside in Central Park at Woman Rink.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time, Donald Trump owned, I think he still owns that rink. And Mark Burnett was
And Rosie
there.
Was the host.
Rosie O'Donnell was the host. Colby drove in on a motorcycle. With Rosie on the back. And, no, he just came up on stage and wished us all luck, and that was it.
That was it.
Yeah, no great Trump story.
All right,
Hillary, on the other hand.
Yeah. All right, we got another question? Okay. Tyson, should we let Deb ask a question?
Okay.
Okay, so it's great that you're here today. Was there any other event you've been invited to that was interesting or just weird?
I've never been invited anywhere. I long to be invited somewhere weird.
I got invited to sit down with a man for half an hour, and he was going to give me $3,000 and buy dinner anywhere my choice and help him make a video for his audition. And his wife was going to shake hands with me, but then she was going to leave. And I said, no, I couldn't do it because I would be taking money from him. Because if you're that desperate, you're already not getting on the show.
It was also a small drink he had to drink and a pill he had to take.
Yeah, yeah.
That man was Bill Cosby. Yeah.
Bill's not getting on the show. I knew that before.
Yeah. Anybody else want to touch that one?
No.
Okay. Who else had a question?
Hey guys, and Anna. My quick question is: which survivor that has little to no poker experience would be the best player if they actually applied themselves at it?
Me,
Steven. Yeah.
I was, but you actually get cash today, so yeah. Steven.
Yeah. Rob, have you ever watched the show and looked at somebody and said, you know, I bet they would be a good poker player?
I think Parvati would be a good poker player. You know, she has the ability to, you know, a lot of times in poker with women, using your sexuality at the poker table goes a long way, not against a professional, but against, you know, an amateur.
Anna says it's true.
Yeah, and Parvati is a really big flirt. So she's very strategic and calculating. I think she'd be a good poker player.
She has great reads on people too. Like she's just got able to read people very well.
Okay.
So you were talking about.
Say who you are for people on the podcast.
This is Jordan Kalish, not Spencer Bledsoe. So you guys were talking about the twist from the season of removing a juror. And I think this sort of is in the same vein as Justin's question before. Do you think taking away a juror based on the winner of the challenge, do you think that puts too much of an emphasis on challenge performance? And then the second part of my question, who would you have taken off? Any of you up on the stage, who would you have taken off the jury if you had the chance?
On our seasons?
On your seasons, yeah.
No, Tyson was the one vote I almost had. Yeah, yeah. That's how bad it was. These fictional... Yeah,
they were actually excited because they pull you aside to kind of get an idea and they're like, which way are you going? It's like, I'm going Steven right now. And I think that if we just voted right now, I would vote Steven. But I'm still like open to listening. And everybody else was like, JT, he's our guy, but I would take off Vitas because he was definitely not voting for me, and he was the one that was definitely not voting. So,
did you like that twist, Tyson?
I loved the twist. Yeah, I thought it was great. I think that it added just like one of those teeny little layers that stressed people out, and also, yeah, it added an extra layer of a little bit of strategy. Maybe not as much strategy as people were hoping for when they devised it, but I think I wouldn't be surprised if we see it in the future, probably not every season, but something along those lines once in a while.
I got the sense that they didn't love how it played out. Steven, do you feel like they'll do it again?
I don't know. I don't know if they'll do it. I mean, what I thought was interesting was that Albert Destrade, also a poker player and a Survivor finalist, wrote that what made it so powerful was not removing one player, but that the rest of the jury felt then like chosen by you. So like you were not removing everyone who voted.
That's interesting. Well, it's like, oh, she likes me. She didn't take my vote away.
I don't think it'll be back. I don't feel like it really went over. It's funny. It does. It adds another element of strategy, but I think it's more of a nuisance than it is, you know.
Yeah. I feel like you can sort of gauge the reaction like that Jeff has on things where it's like they talked about like we did something that we thought about doing for 7 years. We've been talking about doing this forever. But like I feel like that they really like sell like when like we love how it turned out. Like I feel like that they didn't really talk about that they really liked how it played out. So I get the sense you're not going to see that again. I feel like that was like a one and done.
Would you have removed Ralph from your jury?
Oh, yeah. I forgot who Ralph was.
Poor Ralph. Steven's asking, who would you take off the Redemption Island jersey?
Ralph was the only one that voted against me, but I might have taken... this is killing me. The girl from Maine. Ashley.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I might have taken Ashley off only because I thought maybe she held a little bit of resentment and she could have steered things in the wrong direction.
You should have gotten up there and said, you know, Jeff, I'd like to let all the jurors keep their vote. Like that would have been like a very like magnanimous move. And they said, oh, Rob is really. Yeah. Okay. All right, let's take another question. Let's go over here.
Hey guys, my name is Jesse. There's a ton of Survivor fans here and also a ton of Run It Up fans. You guys all know Jason pretty well. If he were to be on Survivor in an alternate universe, don't hold back. Would he do well? Would you think he'd excel at, or what do you think he'd bomb at?
I think Jason would have a really good chance to do well because I think he's very self-aware. And the key to Survivor is to really, in my opinion, know who you are before you get out there and play according to your strengths and downplay when you need to downplay. So what I mean by that, for example, like I'm kind of out front. I like to drive. I can never be like a backseat player, an under the radar type player. If I did, it kind of just goes against who I am and I'd be fighting myself the whole time. I think Jason's aware enough of his own persona that he could be able to adapt to whatever the situation dictated for him and do really well.
Should he tell people that he is a professional poker player? Internet broadcaster.
I think he should because somebody out there, chances are they would know already, and it's better to be upfront about something like that if that's the case. No, so
he's screwed because of the podcast.
Yeah, that's the thing. So he has to come out and be like, I'm a pro poker player, but, you know... I'm maybe not the best the world's ever seen.
Right. Because for a lot of you guys who don't follow Big Brother, there was Vanessa Rousseau, who's a professional poker player, was on Big Brother this past summer. She didn't tell people in the house that she was a professional. She said she was a DJ. And she got really far in the game. She came in third, and she probably could have won if one break goes her way at the end. But it was a big. She kept that a big secret. But I feel like, unfortunately, yeah. But Anna wasn't like on the podcast talking like two people who go on the show.
I think it's tough. It's different if you're already a known persona. It's funny because I remember specifically before we started Marquesas way back when in season four, and I remember Burnett saying he had us all together, and he said, this is your adventure. You can make whatever you want of it. Nobody knows anything about you. You can be and play however you want. And it went through my head at that moment. Like, I could say that I was somebody else, somebody completely different.
Chaz Lamborghini.
And make up some kind of a persona. And I'm surprised it hasn't been done yet after all the seasons. But make up a persona that somebody... You know, back in the day, it was very like, are you deserving to win the $1 million? It wasn't if you played Survivor the best. It was like, are you deserving outside of the world?
Yeah.
You know, do you have a family? Are you an honorable person? You know, and I thought, I could be a great priest, you know?
Yeah. But I know.
You know, like something like that and see honorable. That. Yeah.
Right. But I know that that like Mark says, okay, make whatever the adventure you want it to be. But don't you think that like that would production be annoyed about like, okay, we put you on the show to be this person. And if you just go completely like audible and, you know, they put you on the show, you're like a professional skateboarder.
No.
And then you tell people you're a priest.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying have the plan. Throughout casting, be up front with casting the entire time.
But I don't think you'd get on the show. I think they'd see through it.
Maybe,
yeah, but
maybe
they
not.
They told us the same thing. They said you can be whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. You can say you can have whatever that profession you have. And yeah, I mean, you really could. So it'd be fun to play around with it. And Just like, make sure like, your story adds up.
be upfront with them about it the entire time.
Yeah.
It'd be annoying for them and it'd be more work for them, but ultimately if it was a good show and you could pull it off, it'd be pretty amazing, I think.
All the lies you'd have to
keep straight. Oh, say it on mic.
Think of all the lies you'd have to keep straight. I think it would be too much work and you'd end up getting found out pretty quick.
Russell tried it, right? Russell Hanson's first season, he said he was a fireman, right?
Or everybody disliked him no matter what.
And then he failed, right? It didn't work out.
He changed what he was like 5 times within the course of 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right, let's take another question. Okay, Matt.
Hi, it's Matt. But on that topic you guys just had, you've all played with someone who easily could have been playing a persona that wasn't themselves. Were you ever concerned that that was what was going on with Philip or Matt or
Coach? You're like,
but you can see right through that with Coach and Philip and Russell. You knew, like the joke was on them. They thought they were fooling you, but they weren't fooling anyone.
Coach is going to be here tomorrow. Are you guys excited? All three of the – yeah, Coach is coming here tomorrow. He wasn't able to make it for the show. He did let us know that if we wanted to, we could call him on the show in front of everybody. I said that I think we were going to be fine. Yeah, I think we were fine. What's that? I don't know if he would be on the treadmill or not, Steven. Yeah. We'll splice it in. But did you, you know, I did think with Matthew and the Amazon that he was just like so, like the things he would talk about were just so unusual. Like I felt like this guy was, but no, that really was him. I thought that maybe it was not adding up what he was saying, but it turns out that that actually who he is.
I mean, with Coach, it was like some of it was obviously a lie. Like the story, like the thing he took down the Amazon, right? You know, he went.
How dare you, Steven? That happened. Right.
The kayak.
I wrote a book about it.
I'm sure he like, you know, he probably has kayaked somewhere and he's like seen the Amazon on a map. So there's probably, it partially adds up. But then like, then some of it, he'd be like, and I have a brain tumor and I'm going to die.
What?
And he'd be like, wait, what? Is that real? Like, I can't like.
Is that true?
Yeah, he said he had a brain tumor. And
oh my God.
Yeah, but like you were like, well, you don't want to like disbelieve something like that, right? Like you're like, oh, I have sympathy for you. I mean,
well, clearly he is brain damaged. Oh. I mean, we can all agree on that.
But yeah.
Nobody say that to Coach tomorrow. Don't tell them that Rob said that. Rob Mariano.
Tyson, that was not me. Stop that. That's rotten.
I did the Boston Rob impression. Yeah. That's,
hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I heard that shit. Doesn't sound anything like me. Hey, Rob Cesarino.
You're not going to do it?
What do you want me to say?
I want you to do a Boston Rob impression in the mic.
Hey, you take care of me, I'll take care of you.
Forget about it.
Yeah.
Idiot. He's an idiot. I told him 5 times we're going to do the podcast at 6. Walked in at 6:10.
that's me doing you?
Exactly, yeah?
Okay.
An inception type.
Yeah, people are so confused. All right, well, a couple more questions. Okay.
Yeah, I was curious. When you see a guy as physically as strong as Caleb get medevaced out of Survivor, how bad off are the people that they medevac? And do you think there's ever a chance we're going to see somebody really, like, maybe even die playing Survivor?
Well, say on the mic. Yeah,
I think someone did die in one of the foreign seasons.
Yeah, in French Survivor, there was somebody who died, but I feel like it was not a matter of like the conditions. Yeah, it was like that he had like some sort of like pre-existing condition.
Yeah, it was some rare condition he died.
Yeah, and I think that they've increased the screening to the point where it was like a couple years ago, RC and her dad were going to play with Tyson in Blood versus Water, right? You want to?
I mean, we would have voted him out pretty quick.
Yeah. but they like it's like screening like on site and that was one of the reasons they've had to like really like amp up the screening that they do.
It's pretty legit. It's changed a lot from the early days. It was like rub some dirt on it, you're gonna be okay. And now, you know,
like literally, like that was what they
like,
said.
Literally, like, that is what they
like,
said.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we knew if Caleb's situation was really serious. I mean, he was severely dehydrated. I don't know if you guys know, but his liver and his kidneys started failing. Like, it was really bad. He was in the hospital for 6 days. And I remember that morning we didn't have a lot of water and we just went from the well. We were boiling the water and they're like, all right, we're leaving 15 minutes. We're like, what do you mean? Like, we need to drink water. And I got a little sassy with him because I said, we need water. It's really, really hot today. We need water. I said, I don't care. We got to go. You know, so.
Anna, you know, at that point, you just drink dirty water.
We did.
Yeah.
We did.
Who was the one that wanted to boil it all the time?
Well, actually, the guys kept drinking right from the well.
I bet it was
the
Joe.
Girls. Yeah. The girls.
I bet it was Joe. Classic. Was it Joe?
He wasn't there with us. Yeah, so.
Joe was definitely a water boiler.
Yeah, but I mean, Mark the Chicken drank all our water. No, I'm just kidding.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, let's see a couple other questions.
Hey, it's Phil.
Hey, Phil.
Yeah, back in the day, you used to be able to take a luxury item. Am I right?
Yes.
And if so, what would you take?
What was the question? If you had a luxury item, so. Steven and Tyson, if you guys had a luxury item, what would it have been?
An Xbox and a TV and a generator.
A generator, that's my, yeah.
Or like a refrigerator.
Yeah. I'd take a generator.
And I would bring the television.
Yes.
I would bring a private chef.
Private chef? Okay. I would bring a, you know, a microphone and a laptop.
Actually, this is a true story. I wanted a boogie board because I was like, how cool would the shot be of like Boston Rob being like, hey, we should vote out that idiot Tyson. And meanwhile, in the background, I'm catching some liquid gnar just like, eh. And they made me buy a board and ship a board to them. And then they were like, nah, we can't have that. So they shipped it back and I chose something less cool. But that board is actually in Rob's garage right now.
Oh.
Yeah, my kids use it in the pool to surf on. Even though they can't swim yet, they stand on it and they go for boat rides in the pool. So now you guys know. Tyson is responsible for my children's happiness in the pool.
Okay.
You're welcome. First standing ovation.
There you go. All right, so I want to start. Any other quick questions? Okay, Alex.
What's up, guys? Alex from New York. Shout out to the Pizza and Beer Alliance back in NYC. Seems like Caleb is pretty much a lock to come back, but I would personally rather see Neil come back. What are your guys' thoughts on that?
Josh, you want to field this one? Neil coming back. What do you...
Neil and Caleb, buddy.
Hey, Neil gave me free ice cream. Neil gave Josh free ice cream, so he's on board. Yeah. Anybody else want to stump for Neil to come back?
I'm indifferent. It's not me.
Okay, Tyson's indifferent.
No, I think. I think Neil also strategy wise was in a good place, and it would be fun to see how his game played out. And Caleb probably isn't as far as gameplay goes. Probably isn't on the same level as Neil maybe would have been, but that's based on, you know, muscles versus brains type thing. So, Caleb, we didn't really get to see hardly anything except for his, gorgeous pecs and, you know, back muscles and stuff. And Neil, we got to see a little of it go. So yeah, I could see either of them playing again.
Caleb needs a shed.
Or not. Yeah. Yeah. That's fine. That's also fine. All right.
Played with both of them. So let's hear what she has to say. Do you like Neil or Caleb better as a person?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay. Well,
as a person,
Caleb. I love Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Confirmed.
So there you have it. Neil is a jerk. Anna said it, and everybody heard.
But you weren't on the beach with him.
I wasn't, but we had the finale, so we got to meet.
Okay. So from
no, I'm just kidding. No, Neil is awesome, but do I prefer Caleb or Neil? I mean, Caleb is a great guy. Most people don't really get to meet him and know him and stuff. He's an awesome person.
In fairness, they should let Neil play Big Brother. That would be fair.
They should both play again,
yes,
in my opinion.
Now Neil should get to go play Big Brother.
Or the next time they do The Price is Right.
Yeah, so let Neil at least go on The Price is Right.
I think that's a fair trade-off.
Yeah, or at least go. At least go to the table. All right. I want to start to wrap this up. Jason, how did we do?
This was great. I want to thank all you guys for coming out. Give you guys a round of applause, please. Come on, this was amazing. Yes.
Yeah. thank you. This was a really great turnout for this. And so thank you guys for coming out. It seems like you guys were into it. So thank you. Thank you, guys. Good luck in all the poker games the next couple of days. You feeling good? You guys pick up anything that you could use at the table?
Take it easy on Rob, okay? Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Have, enjoy taking my money, knocking me out of any of these games. Appreciate that. Anything else, Steve? You have a hashtag?
Oh, God. Why do you always do
this? Oh, Chaz Lamborghini.
Hashtag Chaz Lamborghini. Anything else before we sign off, Tyson?
How's it going?
That Chaz Lamborghini, even though it's really awesome, I can't take full credit for it because Buddy, the friend of Charles in Charge, he's the one that actually came up with that alias.
I remember that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Gen X
right
here. Gen X in the house. And Jason, again, Run It Up has been such a great event, and people should definitely come on out.
I would love to have you guys back in October, maybe during actual Survivor, to do a live show. How about that?
Whoa.
Be? Yes.
Yeah. I'm committing first so that I can get on the list. I'm in.
Well, we have Richard Hatch, who has said he has to be invited.
I'm out.
Out. Out. You will have 5 new Survivors in the fall. Thank you. Mic drop.
All right. Thanks so much to all you guys here on the panel. Tyson, Steven, Rob, Anna, Jason. Really fun show.
You guys want pictures or anything, please come say hello.
Thank you guys
so much.
Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Thanks to Rob.
Yeah. Love to hear your comments.
Thank you guys.
Listening to the podcast, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.